We're going to be in Deuteronomy chapter 6, one of, I think, the most important passages in certainly the Old Testament, maybe in all of Scripture, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment. The next couple Sundays, really starting this Sunday, the next few Sundays, though, are all special. So we have the baby blessing today. Next week, we're going to install new elders and also reaffirm our existing elders and honor some retiring elders. So that's a really significant day for the life of our church next week. The week after that is our Senior Sunday, where we bless babies this morning, and we're going to be on the other end of the spectrum blessing those 18-year-olds as they launch off to the next phase of life. So come next on the 28th for that. And then the 5th, the first week in May, is our outreach contribution. And we raise money to support missionaries and ministry partners all over the city and around the world. And so it's a really big day. So over the next few weeks, we're having what I'm going to call Vision Sundays, okay? Because each of those things is connected to big pieces of our vision here at Highland. And today we're talking about family discipleship. So what you see behind me is our vision as a church. We feel like God has called us to build up the next generation. There are 5 pieces to that vision. I've talked about all of them before. Today we're going to focus on number 2, given that it was Baby Blessing Sunday. And that is that part of our vision is to equip 200 families or parents in the area of family discipleship. So discipling their children to love and honor Jesus for their whole lives. And so that's what this morning is about. Let me kind of start with a caveat here. I recognize, as I was thinking about Baby Blessing Sunday, you know, Baby Blessing Sunday, you just fills me up with like warm fuzzies. You know, just looking up there, watching those sweet little babies squirm and cry and stuff. As long as it's not during my sermon, I love it. You know, no, it's fine. It just fills me with joy, right? To see them up there just blessing them and the whole church just leaning forward as we pray over these kids. It just fills me with a lot of good feelings. I think about when my own boys were blessed years ago, our first Noble, 10 years ago it's been now, when he was up here for a baby blessing. And we did it with both of our other sons, Foster and Deacon. It just makes me happy today. But I also know, as I thought about this, that baby blessing probably doesn't feel the same for everybody in the room. And that there are those in this room who maybe are single, have never had children of their own. There are those who've lost children. There are those who have a strained relationship maybe with their adult child. Maybe their adult child's not following the Lord and creates difficulty and heartache and so many prayers. And so to see these little babies maybe remind you of that moment for you and the longing that you still have for your adult children. Like, I'm just guessing that this day hits people differently depending on where you're at. And I wanted to acknowledge that. So the other day I was thinking through that and I came across this word and it just hit me really hard. This is from a guy named Russell Moore. And this is what he's saying to people who maybe they don't have the relationship with maybe their grown children that they wish they had, or maybe they haven't had children of their own. Maybe they're struggling with infertility, something like that, man. And he said this, let me read these words to you. I want you to hear this. He said, the truth is, there is no such thing as a Christian without children. Because you are part of the church, the household of God. A household into which in every generation, God brings children. And you will either treat those children as part of your responsibility, as part of the body of Christ, or you will treat those children, at least as far as you are concerned, as orphans. Children are a sign of God's blessing. And if you are in Christ, that blessing is around you, whether you bear children biologically or not. Isn't that good? And that's so true. And Josh, one of our shepherds, as he prayed over there, he called you to be intentional, even though you're not their parents. It's because you are, as a child of God, a spiritual parent to the children around you. Okay, so this morning when I use the word parent, I'm talking about parents in the home, and I'm also talking about all of you as spiritual parents. Okay, let's dive in here. Why is family discipleship a part of our vision as a church? Well, let me define that word discipleship. We've used it a lot over the last couple of weeks. That word means to help somebody to follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus and join the mission of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about when I use that word discipleship today. So follow Jesus, be changed by Jesus, and join the mission of Jesus. So why is it so important that that happens in the family? Well, let me hit you with some numbers here. Over the last 100 years in North America, 80% of people who came to Christ before they left the home, their parents' home. 80% actually came to Christ before the age of 14 is what the data shows. 80% of those who came to Christ in North America over the last 100 years did so by the time they were in their teenage years. And so that may make you feel two things. One, it may make you think, man, we need to do evangelism better. Okay, and that's true. That's the weakness maybe, but the strength is that for the last 100 years, we have thrived in the area of family discipleship, of parents who have seen it as their responsibility to form the children in their home to know and love Jesus for the rest of their lives. But let me hit you with another number, not as encouraging. New data suggests that today, 70% of the young people who come to faith at home will leave the faith after they leave home. 70%. 70%. Okay, so what that means for us is that family discipleship is not only critical, but we have got to figure out how to do it well, right? That's what it means. One of my favorite books I've read over the last few years, and if you're an Amazon person, you make notes, buy this book, okay? Especially if there's a dad in your life who has sons. Okay. The book is by John Tyson. It's called The Intentional Father, The Intentional Father. And in that book, he talks about five different kinds of dads, and I think it would be true of moms or dads, okay? So I think it would apply to both moms or dad. He says you have the irresponsible parent. And the irresponsible parent is the parent who checks out, abandons their kids, and totally fails them. Right. He says you also have the ignorant parent. And the ignorant parent is the one who's maybe around, they just have no idea what they are doing, and so they wreak havoc on their family. Okay, so some of you had irresponsible or ignorant parents. I know that, okay? And then he says there's also the inconsistent parent. And the inconsistent parent is like the mom or dad who is torn between their responsibilities to their kids and their personal ambitions. And so they actually spend most of their energy pursuing a career and pursuing money. And then every once in a while, they drop in and they try to make it up to their kids by buying them a new car or sending them to Disney. Okay, so they're inconsistent. So he said you've got the irresponsible, the ignorant, the inconsistent. And he says you have the involved parent. And the involved parent is the dad who's actually changing diapers. Okay, it's the mom who comes to the ball games, is the involved parent. But he says the thing about that parent is although the world says that is enough, this parent has no vision for their child growing into a follower of Jesus for the rest of their life. So he says, lastly, you have the intentional parent. And the intentional parent is the one who's not only involved, but has a vision for their kid growing to love and serve the Lord the rest of their life and is giving everything they have to help their kid reach that vision. Okay. So of course, I lay out those five and you know which one's the right one. Right, that's how it works, okay? They all start with I and the last one's the right one, okay? That's a preacher tool, right? You know that. Okay, hopefully that raises up in you this desire. Yeah, that's the kind of parent I want to be, the intentional parent. And the question is, how in the world do you do that? And I'll be honest with you, I don't know. Right, check back in with me in 15 years. I have no idea if what I'm doing is the right thing. There's a family here and they talk about their first child was their first pancake. Have you ever heard that language before? Think about your first pancake. Never turns out right, right? You burn it, right? Because you don't have the settings set right on the first pancake. And that's right, we're praying for that child, that first child of theirs. And I get that. How many of you parents can relate to that? We don't know what we're doing. We're trying to figure it out. Okay, that's me too. So in my struggle to know what to do as a dad, and also for the moms in the room, what I'm doing is I'm paying attention to God's word and what God's word says about parenting, spiritual parenting or parenting in the home. So come with me here to Deuteronomy 6. This is the most important passage probably in all of scripture about forming children to love the Lord and serve the Lord. It is the, without a doubt, most important passage for Jews. It's called the Shema, and they repeat it every time they come together. Shema, that word means hear or listen up. And so every time they come together, it's Shema time, listen up time. And this is the thing they listen up to. Okay, so here it is. This is Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4. Hear, Shema, there's that word. Hear, listen up, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all your strength. And these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts and press them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Some friends of ours, they were going on a double date with another couple not long ago, and they made reservations at this really fancy place. But then there was this famous chef who was in town, and she offered this course you could do in the afternoon. You could come to her house, to her kitchen, and she would teach you how to prepare a dish, okay? And so they thought that would be kind of fun to do with this other couple, to get in there and cook with your spouse and be laughing with this other couple. And so the dish that she was offering to teach them was gourmet donuts. And so they thought that would be a fun appetizer before the real dinner, the reservations they had. So they go to this chef, it's supposed to be 2 hours, and they're supposed to get gourmet donuts at the end of it. And 4 hours in, they still had not tasted a donut. Okay, they had to cancel their reservations. I think they ended up at like Wendy's or something like that, okay? And I thought about that afterwards, about what a window that is into our own desire for the formation of the children around us. That we wish there was a microwave version. Okay, that you could do it like there's a quick cook button, and that you could press that button and your kids would pop out fully formed disciples of Jesus, right? But we know that like that's not how cooking works. Okay, so imagine if you would, if you stick with that scenario, that you were to invite this famous chef to your house. And you've got a couple kids, and you want to feed those kids that night. They're hungry. They've been at school all day. They've come home cranky. They're ready to eat. But you have this famous chef coming. And so she says, let's do this. Let's send the kids upstairs, put them on a video game or something for a minute. And I'm going to teach you, mom and dad, how to make this meal. And you're like, okay, that sounds great. And so she starts cooking. She says, the first thing is you just watch me work. And so you're like, okay. And so she's slicing carrots and she's sauteing onions and you're impressed. Like you can tell she is really good at this. And then she says, okay, now I want you to taste it. So you take that bite and you admit she is the best cook you have ever seen. This food is terrific. You wish you could eat this food every night. Your affection for her grows. And then she says, now listen, here's what I want to do. I want to teach you everything I have learned in the kitchen over the last 30 years, and I need you to memorize it. And once you have memorized it, we'll invite the kids down and we'll prepare food for them. All right? You'd be like, nah, we're going to Chick-fil-A. Right? Right? Okay. I want you to think through that analogy here for a second as we look at this passage. So this Deuteronomy 6, it's been called the Great Commission before the Great Commission. So the Great Commission is Jesus' words to go and make disciples of all nations. The first Great Commission was disciple the kids in your house. All right, well, look what he says in the most important passage ever written about discipling kids. Look at this, it starts with this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Okay, in the most important passage ever written on family discipleship, he starts not by addressing what you teach the kids. He starts by addressing the adults and what they believe themselves. You see that? When he says, Hear, O Israel, it's really clear from the rest of the passage. He is not talking to everybody. He's talking to parents, spiritual parents here. And he's saying the most important thing in the world is that you are convicted of the oneness of God, the singularity, that there is nobody else like him. Anytime I baptize somebody, I talk to them about two things. I say, there's two things you got to know. You don't have to know everything. You got to know two things, and you got to believe them with all of your heart. And there are one, that you are a sinner. And when I say that, everybody's like, yep, check. Okay. And number two, only Jesus can save you. That makes him Christ, Lord, and King of your life, because only he can save you from your sin. And that is the one that if they're gonna get hung up, that's the one that hangs them up. And you know what hangs them up? It's the word only. Only Jesus can save you. Because there's that voice in the back of their head that says, like, maybe there's another religion that would satisfy and solve my sin problem. Maybe if I find the right self-help book, it would help me to beat back this problem in my life. Okay, the most important thing when it comes to you discipling the children around you is that you believe with all of your heart there is only one who is Lord. Right? It starts with conviction. Look at the next verse with me. Come with me to verse 5. And then he says this. So love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Look at this. It starts with your belief, your conviction, and then it shifts next, not to your kids yet, but to your affection, your love for the Lord. We've talked about this before, that what God wants more than anything is your heart. Okay, look at the next verse. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. The commandments are the words. It's talking about scripture. That's what it's talking about. The scriptures that I give you are to be on your hearts. How many of you listen to the audio Bible on your phone? Anybody ever do that? Do you know about the audio Bible on your phone? Okay, the Holy Bible app, Lifeway Holy Bible app, any chapter that you're looking at, down at the bottom, there's this little play button. It's a little red triangle on its side. You just click it and it starts talking to you. Did you know? Lindsay's read through the Bible a couple times in a year, and she will listen to it, and she'll listen to it at home. And one of the things I love about that is my boys are listening to her listen to the Word of God. Okay, they know these commandments are on mom's heart. Okay, they know that. Okay, now look at verse 7. Look at this. Impress them what the commandments, the Word of God, on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. So let me show you the movement of this passage. If you go to the next slide, let me show this to you how it looks. Okay, the most important passage ever written on family discipleship, it doesn't get to what you do with the kids until the fourth verse. Isn't that something? It starts with the conviction of the adults in their life, the spiritual parents. It moves to the affection for the Lord of those spiritual parents, the devotion to God's word of those spiritual parents, and then and only then does it get to the formation of the babies, right? Only then. Do you see that? I baptized a guy last week, Trey Spangerberger. He's one of the leaders of our security team. He's a big old boy, and he wouldn't mind me calling him that. He's a big fella. He's about a foot taller than me. The night before I baptized him, I prayed, like, Lord, if you could grow me a couple inches tonight, that'd be great. I was afraid I was going to sink, and that baptistry was going to drown up there, okay? But what I loved about his decision to give his life to Jesus in baptism was that up the stairs, back here in the baptistry, there's two sets of stairs going in there. Up those stairs was his wife, who was pregnant, 9 months pregnant, with their little girl, who they had last week, and she's healthy and well. And then their little boy, JD, who's about 2 years old, watching his daddy get baptized. And when Trey came up out of the water, he's soaking wet, and JD said, Daddy, you're so silly. He said, I just laughed and laughed at that. But Trey said, one of the biggest reasons he wanted to give his life to Jesus was he wanted that boy and that little girl to know their daddy was devoted to this. He was committed to this. And so, you know, in a sermon about family discipleship, we've gotten this far, and I have not talked at all about the kids. Okay, and the reason is the most important thing you have to give to your kids and the kids around you is your own transforming self. That's a quote from Ruth Haley Barton, and I think she's right. The most important thing you have to give is yourself being redeemed and transformed by Jesus. And if you are being changed by him and following him, you are going to bring your kids along with you. That's how it works. Okay. But let me say one important word about that formation piece, what we actually do with the kids. And I'm going to leave you with this here in a minute. But come back with me to verse 7. Let me show you this. The only thing Again, in the most important passage ever written about family discipleship that it says to do. We could talk about praying with your kids. I think you should. Worshiping with your kids. I think you should. Bringing them to church. I think you should. I've preached those sermons before. But look at the thing that this verse calls us to. Look at this. Impress them. What's that? The word of God. Impress the word of God on your children. Talk about it when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Okay, that word impress right there, it's kind of a funny word. What it actually means is to push down on something with a sharp edge over and over again until it cuts. That's what it means. Okay, so to push down on something again and again and again until it cuts. Okay, so what is he saying is going to cut? Not just anything, the word of God. So this is going to make a lot more sense of this next verse. Throw up Hebrews 4 for me if you don't mind. You've seen this verse now, but it's going to make more sense to you after this. Look, for the word of God is alive and active. What is it? Sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the what? The heart. Now, how many of you have had a conversation with your kids and you have no idea if it's getting through? I'm coaching T-ball right now. Whew, pray for me. And every time they're at the plate, some of those boys, they're right here. And I'm like, look at the ball. And this is what they do. You know, look at the ball. You know this. One little boy, he hit 3 home runs yesterday. It was because he was the last batter, and the last batter hits a home run every time. And he came to me at the end, and I was like, 3 home runs, man. And he looked at me, and he said, you want to know how I did it? And I was like, tell me. I just looked at the ball. And he said, okay. You ever wonder if what you're saying is getting through, if it's reaching the heart? Yeah, we all wonder that as parents, because we don't know what we're doing. We don't know. Well, here's the calling of this passage, most important one ever written about family discipleship. If you don't know what to say, impress upon them the word of God. That's it. That's it. Julie Chester, wife of our longtime worship minister, Jim Chester, passed away a couple years ago. She got a smartphone about a decade ago. She did not know how to use it. But she got that smartphone because she was told with that smartphone, she could send scripture to her grandkids every day. And she did every single day. In the morning, when I'm reading through my Bible, I'm asking myself 2 questions. Is there a word for me in this? And is there a word for my boys? And there's not always a word for my boys. Sometimes I don't even know if there's a word for me. I struggle to find it. But when there's a word for the boys in there, when we drive to school, we talk about that word. I've challenged y'all to memorize 5 scriptures this year. One of the dads here at Highland was telling me a funny story about how they're working through memorizing those as a family, and his 7- and 8-year-old and 10-year-old are so much better at memorizing scripture than he is. And so he'll quiz them at night and they'll nail it, and then they'll be like, Daddy, your turn. And he'll be like, it's bedtime. You know, we'll send them off. All right, okay. The most important passage ever written about forming your kids says, the most important thing is that you parents, spiritual parents, are following after the Lord yourselves. Okay, that's the most important thing. And secondly, that you would impress the word of God on those kids, because it can reach the heart when you don't think anything else is getting through. I'm going to throw up on the screen here some resources. If you'll go to the end, the last slides there, and we'll end with this. If you got a phone and you want to snap pictures of these, you can. These are resources that I have found really helpful, or other parents I know have. And so the first is that every week, Michelle or Stephanie makes sermon handouts to follow along with the sermon. So if you wanted a way to follow up with your kids about what we preach on Sunday morning, those are available to you in the back every week. Those talking point discussion cards, they're these, a little box of cards. There's several versions of them. I have them in my console in my truck. So as we drive to school and I don't have anything to talk about, I'll grab those out and there'll be a card of who do you think Jesus died for? And we'll talk about that. So conversation questions. The bottom two are resources for parents to use as you walk through. They're Bible-based resources for parents to use to walk through the story of Jesus with their kids, help to form them into the image of Jesus. And then the next one, if you'll go to the next slide, are websites that are producing just tons of curriculum and resources for parents and families, okay? So I encourage you to check those out. All right, whether you are a parent or not, you are a spiritual parent. The children of this church depend on you. They depend on you, right? And so I hope that you would be intentional parents. Let me pray over us. God, I thank you for what you have done for us in Christ Jesus. That you have drawn us to yourself, that you have called us your children. God, would you impress upon every one of us your word? And to that end, may your word speak to the parents in the room this morning. Make us intentional for the sake of the next generation. I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.